Luke chapter 24 is the account of, part of the chapter anyway, is the account of the disciples, two of the disciples that were on the road there that Jesus came and joined himself to and walked and talked with them. This was just after his resurrection. And Luke chapter 24, we'll begin reading in verse number 13. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. They communed together and reasoned, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, I read that verse there, and I thought to myself, wouldn't that have been an incredible experience to have the Lord Jesus give you a Bible study about himself? That's what he did. He went through the scriptures, starting at Moses, the Old Testament law, and went through all the prophets and explained to them all of the scriptures concerning himself. They did a Bible study while they were walking on the road to Emmaus. That would have been pretty neat, you know. It's good enough to study the scriptures, because you imagine Jesus teaching you not just the Bible, but about himself. Keep reading. He says there in verse 28, And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Of course, we know that happened in Acts chapter 2, right? Okay, the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came, was poured out, and they were endued with power. All right, verse number 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Now we read a majority of that chapter for the sake of understanding what's going on here. Okay? So Jesus has been crucified. He's given his life. He's died. They've buried him. And 3 days later, and actually on this day, the third day, Cleopas and this other disciple that's with him, walking on the road to Emmaus, tells Jesus, this is now the third day that these things have happened, or since these things have happened. And so we're on the third day, we're on what we would call Resurrection Sunday, right? And he's already arisen from the dead. As they said, some folks had already gone to the sepulcher. They didn't find him there. And they came back and told some other of the disciples and followers, but they didn't believe them. Now, it's interesting. Look at verse number 41. The Bible says, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? It's kind of like, what? This is really Jesus? And for joy, they didn't believe. Now, before this, they just didn't believe, okay? But now they're in a situation where they're actually seeing him physically. And he says, okay, I'm going to prove to you that I've risen from the dead and I'm not a spirit. He said, do you have anything to eat? And the Bible says they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a piece of honeycomb, and he ate that in their midst. If he was a spirit, he wouldn't have been able to do that. He said, I have flesh and bones just like you. And all of these things were happening as a result of something that we find in verse number 15. Look at verse number 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, watch this, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus drew near. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of James, draw nigh to God. And guess what? He will draw nigh to you. You see, it's not this idea of drawing near and Jesus drawing near is not the idea that he is going to go all of the way or he's going to make me go all of the way. It's that we meet each other somewhere in the middle. In other words, he said, I want you to put forth effort. I want you to be intentional about this. I want you to draw nigh to me. And when you draw nigh to me, then I will draw nigh to you. Now, understand something. In the very beginning, at the beginning of your Christianity, before you trusted Christ as your Savior, guess what happened? God came to you without you ever really coming to him. And then you responded by coming to him. And we find that in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve refused to obey God. And what did they do? They hid themselves, and what did God still do? God still came looking for them. Aren't you thankful God still looks for us in salvation? But once we become children of God, God says, look, you need to put some feet to this faith. You need to put some effort into this thing. You draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you. And we find Jesus here drawing nigh to these individuals. Well, what happens when Jesus draws nigh? Look at verse number verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? You know what happens? We get a greater desire for Christ. You know, when he comes near to us, when he comes nigh to us, we want more of that, don't we? You've probably experienced that in your own spiritual walk, in your own spiritual life. Your desire for him grows. You know what I have found? The more time I spend with the Lord, the more time I want to spend with the Lord. And the less time I spend with the Lord, the less time I want to spend time with the Lord. The more I read my Bible, the more I want to read my Bible. The less I read my Bible, the less I want to read my Bible, you see. And the whole our whole spiritual life is wrapped up into that response to Jesus. When he draws nigh, we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. And guess what? It creates a desire that we would not otherwise have. Notice in verse number 46. And he and said unto them, Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. Not only is there desire created, but there's direction given. We see things a little more clearly, don't we? When we spend time with the Lord and we spend time in his word, things become a little more clear, and the direction that he would have us to go, the things that he would have us to do, become a little more clear. What did he tell these folks? This is what we call one of the times where Jesus gave what we call the Great Commission. We find it in Matthew, once in Mark, once in Luke, once in John, and then again once in Acts. Five different times Jesus gave what we refer to as the Great Commission, this command to give the gospel, to be the right kind of witness. I don't know if you've ever heard the term soul winner or soul winning. May I say that term is a misnomer. Because God never commanded us to win people to Christ. God commanded us just simply to give the gospel, to be a witness. It's the Holy Spirit's job to do all of those things. It's the Holy Spirit's job to draw people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict of sin, to help them to understand their need for a Savior. It's just simply my job to be faithful and our job to be faithful in giving the gospel to be a witness. I almost brought a message tonight on being the right kind of witness. You realize there are three kinds of witnesses? When you think of a courtroom and you call a witness, you can call an expert witness. You can call a character witness. And you can call an eyewitness. I don't think there's any other witnesses. There might be. If there are, tell me afterwards. But we're supposed to be all of those types of witnesses for Christ. What kind of character is Christ, and how has he worked in your life so that you know him? How well do you know him? If you were put on trial as a Christian, would you be convicted? If you had to go to trial, would you be convicted for being a Christian? Would you be the right kind of witness? Are you an expert witness about who Christ is? Are you a character? Have you been an eyewitness? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? And you know what he has done for you. And so he gave clear direction here. Notice there in verse number 53 also, it says, verse 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. You see, when Jesus draws nigh and we respond properly, it elevates our devotion for him also. It takes us to greater heights of devotion to him and for him. Notice they were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. They were worshiping him. They had great joy because of who he was and what he had done for them. And so we see these things, what happens when Jesus draws nigh and the things that he does for us and the things that are accomplished in our lives. But more importantly than that, I want you to notice some things that take place as a result of what he opens to us. Look at verse number 27. Look at verse number 27. And beginning at Moses, mentioned this a moment ago, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And look at verse number 32. Verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, now watch this, and while he opened to us the scriptures. You see, when Jesus draws nigh, we begin to understand the scriptures to a greater degree than we've ever understood them before. Psalm 119 tells us, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law, verse number 18. And we find Jesus, as I mentioned, gave a Bible study to Cleopas and his buddy, walking on the road to Emmaus. And I don't know how long it took them. It took them a little bit of time there. But he expounded unto them all of these things concerning who he was. And he opened, they said, he opened to us the scriptures. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you thought to yourself, I'm just not getting it. I'm just not getting it. Draw nigh to God. Let him draw nigh to you. And when he draws nigh, you'll begin to understand it. He will open the scriptures to you. As a matter of fact, we find Jesus telling us in the book of John there, he said, and I'm going to go away, but when I go away, I'm going to send a comforter to you. And he's the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And when he comes, I'm paraphrasing some of these things, but he said, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth. And then he said, thy word is truth. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, we draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us, and guess what happens? We open up our Bible, we open up the scriptures, and we begin to see things we never saw before. We begin to understand things we never understood before. The scriptures begin to be opened up to us. And we find here that Jesus himself was telling these disciples, look, let me tell you about this Messiah that you're talking about. Notice what they said about him there in, verse 21. Luke 24, 21, he said, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. We were hoping he was going to be the one. But guess it just didn't turn out that way. You know what Jesus had to do? He had to open the scriptures to them. He had to open the scriptures to them. And he had to explain who he was and what he came to do. They said, we supposed he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. Let me ask you a question. Did he redeem Israel? Yeah. But he redeemed all of mankind too. Not just the nation of Israel. Not just the Jewish people. He redeemed, he bought back all of mankind with his shed blood. And they weren't getting it. They weren't putting two together. They were missing some of the things that the scriptures had talked about who Christ was and what the prophets had said about who he was and why he came and what he had come to do. And so Jesus had to open the scriptures to them. Notice what else there in verse number 31. He goes to the house, they begin to break bread, they begin to eat some food together. And as they're about to do this, he prays, he blesses it, and gives to them, verse 30 and 31 says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. You see, once the scriptures are opened, Jesus draws nigh. We draw nigh to God, he draws nigh to us, and we begin to understand to a greater degree who Christ is through the scriptures. Then what does he do? He opens our eyes. The scriptures are open to us, and then our eyes are open. And notice what happened there. And they knew him. We saw earlier before this, the Bible tells us there, Luke told us that their eyes were holden, that they would not know him. Look over, it's back in verse number 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. So for whatever reason, I don't know the reason, but for whatever reason, God chose to not allow them to know who Christ was. And it wasn't until the scriptures were opened that their eyes were opened. Go over to the book of Psalms, if you would. Look over at the book of Psalms. Well, let me see if I can find it real fast here. Psalm chapter 73. Look at Psalm chapter 73. Asaph, the temple choir director, was writing this psalm here. He says in verse number one, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Asaph is saying, look, I looked around. I looked at all the unsaved people. I was like, why do they have it so good? It seems like they have everything they want. As a matter of fact, we find he says they have more than heart could desire. They don't have any difficulty. They don't have any suffering. They don't have any trouble, it doesn't seem like. And notice his result, the result he came to in verse 13. He said, verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of the children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. But look at verse 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. What's he talking about there? He's saying it wasn't until I knew what the scriptures said. You see, the sanctuary of God is where people went to be instructed out of the law. It was the place where people went. It was, if I may say it this way, it was their church. It's their church building, so to speak. They went to the tabernacle. They went to the temple to be instructed. Later on, we find synagogues being built in other places. But originally, they would go to the temple, and the priests, the high priest and the priests, would instruct the people out of the law, the Mosaic law, out of the Bible. And Asaph said, it wasn't until I went to the sanctuary of God and the scriptures were opened to me that my eyes were opened and I began to realize what's really going on here. And he said, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. Go back to Luke chapter 24. So we see the scriptures were opened. We see their eyes were opened. Look at verse number 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. Their eyes, the scriptures were opened, their eyes were opened, and their understanding was opened. And as a result of that, God revealed himself to them in ways that they didn't understand before this. Their understanding was opened. And notice, not just an understanding of the times, not just an understanding of the difficulties, not just understanding of what was actually going on here, because they were flabbergasted, right? They didn't know what was, they thought he was the Messiah. They thought he was the one coming to redeem Israel. And it's been 3 days, and we went to the tomb. Some of our folks went to the tomb, and he wasn't there. We haven't seen him yet. And now all of a sudden, he shows up once there at the tomb to some folks. He shows up on the road to Emmaus. He shows up in this place where they're gathered together, and he says, look, I want you understand something, not what's going on here. I want you to understand the scriptures. You see, it all goes back to the Word of God. It all goes back to the Bible. The Bible and the scriptures are premier. Why? Because this book tells us who God is. This book tells us who Christ is. This book tells us, and I've said it before, but we have to be very careful about viewing the Bible as just a book of instructions. Well, it's a book of do's and don'ts and can'ts and cans, and mostly can'ts, but some cans, you know. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to view the scriptures and Christianity like a ball and chain, excuse me for saying it that way, but a ball and chain that we got to drag around. And, well, here we go, I got to drag my Christianity to work today. I got to drag my Christianity over here. I got to drag my Christianity to this place. And no, it's not that at all. As Jesus draws near, as we draw nigh to God, He draws nigh to us. He opens to us the Scriptures, if we're in them. If we're in them, He opens our eyes, He opens our understanding to understand exactly what the Scriptures say about Him. And as we understand Him, we begin to understand everything else. You see, sometimes we get the cart before the horse, don't we? Kind of like the disciples did. Lord, show us the signs of when your coming is going to be. Now, He told them some things. You go to Matthew and some other places, you find some things about the last days and some things to look for and all of that. But that's not what it was about. Because when He called them, the Bible tells us He called them to be with Him first, then that He might send them out and do. You see, if we're not careful, we'll get the verb before the noun. Oh, we want to get active. We want to do. And God says, wait a minute. Just be first. Just be what you ought to be. Learn of me. Learn about who I am. Draw nigh to me. Let me draw nigh to you. Let me open up your understanding. Let me open up the scriptures. Let me open up your eyes to greater desire for me, to greater devotion for me, to understanding the direction I have for your life and exactly what I want you to do. But you have to be with me first. You have to spend time with me. You see, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And as a result of that, it's not just so we can say, boy, God's close to me. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to say. But it's more than that. It's so that we can know Christ and know God to a greater degree. So then He can challenge us and stir us to these greater heights of devotion and direction and desire for Him. Father, we thank You for this truth. We thank You for Your word. God, I thank You for the example that You've given us in these disciples. I thank You for the challenge that You give us to know You better, to know You more. Father, help us in our walk with You, not just to look for the things that we can get done and the ways to serve, but God, help us to look for the ways that we can know You better. To draw closer to You so that You can draw closer to us. And help us as You reveal Yourself to us to pay attention. Help us to be doing the things that we need to be doing so that you can show us who You are. And God, the things in our lives that are hindering that, help us to remove those things. And Holy Spirit, work in our lives. In Christ's name, amen. Stand if you would. The piano's going to play. Perhaps God's speaking to your heart. The altar's open. Talk to the Lord about it, even right where you are. Talk to God about it. Will you draw nigh to God? Will you allow Him to draw nigh to you? And as a result of that, allow these things to be accomplished in your life. Free to run. sing that first verse together. What number is that?
14.
Number 410. Jesus, keep me near the cross. On the first verse.
Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all the living stream, from Calvary's mountain. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever.
Tell somebody about Jesus this week, and to be praying especially for the Humphreys family. And if you're able to, come 12 o'clock. The viewing will start, visitation will start at 12 o'clock here, 12 to 2. Then the funeral will be at 2 o'clock. And if you're able to help sing in the choir, do that if you would. And who do they need to contact if there's somebody? Okay, let Miss Stacy know if you're interested in doing that, or you know of somebody that would be interested in that, let her know. And to have them let her know, that would help us greatly. And plan on helping there if you can. Be praying for the family, especially this week. And I realized something a long time ago, that when a person passes away, oftentimes we pray, we encourage within the first couple days after that happening. But there's a lot of decisions, a lot of things that have to be done in days and weeks and even months later. And so continue to pray for these folks and others, obviously, maybe that you know of that have lost loved ones recently. But pray for these folks especially, and all of that. Any announcements before we go? Anybody have anything? Brother Jeff, would you lift your voice, please, and dismiss us in prayer? Jeff Wright. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Latween, come on up.